Welcome to episode 29 of Sass Effect.
That is the correct number this time, I do believe.
It is. So we're getting an acknowledgement out quite early in this episode. Cap Daff on Twitter preemptively reminded us that it's episode 29 because he knew that we would inevitably get it wrong.
Thanks, Dave. We acknowledge you.
We acknowledge you. So welcome to episode 29. I am Tegan.
And I'm Lee.
And I'm here this week. I mean, I was totally here last week. No, I think any savvy listeners might have worked out that that was maybe some pre-recorded stuff that we had done.
It was the magic of pre-recorded.
Yeah, look, I'm sorry if I ruined the magic of podcasting for anybody out there. How did that go, like pretending that I was here when I was not?
It was more like just having to mentally remember that we had to throw to you. I'm doing that in inverted commas.
I think I can hear the inverted commas even if I close my eyes. Okay, that's pretty. I think it went well. I was actually listening to part of it. I got part of it working when I was standing in line for the Jurassic Park ride at Universal Studios Japan. But we will get to that. So stuff's been happening. I've been gone for 2 weeks. I've been in Japan. It was amazing. I think I was maybe making people a little bit angry on social media.
All your food spam.
Yep, food spam, sometimes with actual spam.
Food spam, tree spam.
For anyone who is a fan of nature, there was also a lot of hiking spam and nature spam, so a lot of that was happening. I know that one thing, you're going to ask me about one particular theme park, I think, Lee.
DisneySea.
It was so good. I loved it. I'm someone who has not traveled overseas much. Actually, this was my first proper long two-week overseas holiday. I've only been to New Zealand for a couple of days and to South Korea for work before, so this was a big one for me. But one thing I never really was excited for was anything Disney. Like, Disney's fine, but I'm not a fanatic. But Alex did say, look, we should try DisneySea. I've been there before. It's not really about the characters. It's about the rides and it's kind of more adult. And I loved it. It was so good.
Were you also perplexed by the amount of high school kids that always seem to be there? I swear they skip school in their school uniform.
No.
And all go to Disneyland.
Okay, so here's the thing. I looked into this when I was over there because we actually went during Golden Week, which is like...
Oh, That's time off.
Basically, like, yeah, so most of that time people are off work and school. But for one of the weeks, it was just a normal, ordinary week. Same thing, like you see kids in school uniforms everywhere, even on weekends. And I was wondering what it was. Like, I know that up until about 1992, it was still a thing where it was quite predominant for kids to go to school on Saturdays, but that's mostly doesn't happen anymore except for private schools. But as I discovered from doing a little bit of research, school uniforms in Japan, and if anyone knows better than me, correct me if I'm wrong, this is just my own sort of research on the interwebs, but what I read was that school uniforms can be subbed in as formal clothing, basically. So it's appropriate to wear those to formal occasions. I read some places where they would be worn to funerals or even weddings, and apparently with some schools as well, it's kind of a requirement. If you're doing any kind of school activity, even outside of school on a weekend, you're still required to wear the uniform. Something else I read was is that sometimes it can be a kind of pride thing as well. If you're going to a really good school, it shows respect and pride to sort of wear your uniform, even just if it's on a weekend. So,
yeah, but what if it's on a weekday and you're at Disneyland? On a weekday, and it's not Golden Week.
maybe it's like when we used to go to Wonderland. It's like, oh, it's a science excursion. And I did find that more kids turned up after hours, though, because you can get, I think, cheaper tickets where it's just between like 4 and 10 p.m. or 5 and 10 p.m., so it could be that. Yeah. But yeah, I really like DisneySea. I was a big fan of the Indiana Jones ride, even though it was of the movie that shall not be named.
I got to like I was very lucky to be a single rider for that ride. So I got to jump the queue.
So did I. It's so, so good. That was a hack that I discovered over there actually at Universal, that Alex and I went everywhere as single riders so we could skip heaps of the queues. It was so good. I have to say though that my highlight was the journey to the center of the earth ride though. Mm. Did you go on that?
Yes, that is so good when you like shoot out of the mountain.
Oh, it's so much fun. Alex and I we had a fast pass, but it wasn't until like later in the evening, and so from that point onwards we went on that. We ran to play the Toy Story ride, which was fucking incredible.
That's the only thing I missed. I was looking at doing it last and I missed out on getting a fast pass.
Oh, it was so good. So I'll get back to that in a second, but yeah, so we ended up by the end of the evening we'd ridden on Journey to the Center of the Earth about 4 or 5 times because we kept running around to go back to it. But oh my god, so the Toy Story ride is amazing. So it's in 3D, and essentially it's like an old school arcade. So you're in this like cool little seat. You're versing the person that you're sitting next to, and basically you've almost got like guns, not the right word, because it's almost like one of those things where you pull it back and pop, like you're popping like balls out. And it's at like targets or what have you. So it's like those old style arcades where you're trying to like shoot all of the targets and compete against the person next to you. And it sounds much worse than it actually is. You should look it up on YouTube. It was so much fun. I got really sore arms though, like from just like, now I'm doing like a wanker motion for those listening at home. But it was very, very cool. I highly recommend. I can see why it's the most popular ride there. It was very cool.
Did they still have the tower thing there?
Yeah, they had the Tower of Terror, which I was too scared to go on.
Oh, because that thing is like so fucking scary.
Yeah, not keen. I could hear the screams. It reminded me too much of when they had the same thing at Wonderland, like back in the day, which I used to go on.
Space Probe.
Space Probe. Well, that's a filthy name now that I think about it. I hadn't even thought about that. I went on.
Wasn't it like initially sponsored by Channel 7?
Seven, it totally was. And back when I was 10, like when that opened, that was fine. Like I would still shit myself, but I would do it. And I think I've just gotten too old now. But the fuck thing about those rides, especially Space Probe 7, was that you'd go up into the thing, and not only is it bad enough, they've got all the screens around you counting down, and you know it's going to be bad. They would sometimes drop you early, but the worst bit of that is that you'd hear the thing let go of you.
Mm.
That's the worst bit. That was not cool, so I wasn't keen to go on that.
Yeah, because the one at Disney Sea, like it, so it's like it takes you up.
Yeah.
And you know how it's kind of modeled on like a Mediterranean city? So it's like you're up there and you just see the bay, and I'm just like, oh, this is going to be bad. And you just drop and just, yeah.
Is it one drop or is it like several drops? Or do they fake you out or something?
I can't remember now. It's like, I think they might fake you out once, like they might
drop you like a little bit. Oh, and that's shitty.
Yeah, they drop you like a little bit.
And no. Boom,
yeah.
Oh, that's not keen. Yeah, so that was really fun. Universal was really fun as well. Really, really enjoyed Harry Potter Land. That was, I got way more into the whimsy than I ever thought that I would. And the Butterbeer was really good. I enjoyed that. Yeah,
because I was interested in going to it last time. And yeah. Maddie, you know, little Maddie.
Yeah.
Because I asked her, I'm like, oh, it's like, how was it? Blah, blah, blah. And she's like, look, it's not worth it unless you have a fast pass. And I think she missed out on a fast pass.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think the queues were just...
I can see why. The queues can be insane. We happened, even though we were there like during Golden Week, I think we just picked a good day or something. No, maybe we went on one of the days that wasn't a public holiday, because we apparently, you have to wait just to get into Harry Potter Land, like not even just the ride, but we just walked right in. And we did have to wait ages for the first time that we went on the ride. It was probably about an hour and a half, but later on we got back in like within 15 minutes, so it was fine. So that was fun. What else did I do? Ate heaps of food. We were staying in Akihabara, so in the tech district, so lots of gaming and tech. We went to this really cool retro store called Super Potato that has like all the old school game stuff that you just wouldn't even remember existed, so that was awesome. In Kyoto, we were shown around the city by like this 90-year-old guy who calls himself Samurai Joe. He's been on like Letterman and stuff, and he's just like basically like, is this $50 for the whole day? And he takes you around to all like the really cool like little back alleys of Kyoto. You eat heaps of food, but I think it's mostly like you're going around visiting like all of his like 100-year-old mates and stuff that have it's pretty good. I'm thinking, sweet hustle though, like it's pretty good.
It's like, look, I'll take these like dumb tourists to your restaurant and like they will pay like their like American dollars.
So that was good. But he also like actually does sword play and stuff, which was really cool. So he was like slicing apples that were chucking in the air. There was one girl who like held a turnip as he like did this awesome slicing and like didn't kill her. And then also he had something on one guy's stomach that he'd like chopped and was able to stop without like disemboweling this guy. And that's all well and good, but when he was doing the practice chops beforehand, he fucked up maybe 50% of them. I'm like, oh no, I don't know.
Do you think it was for show?
I don't know, because my mates Bam and Christina were there the week before. Because you know, these tickets went on sale around Christmas, so like half the people I know were in Japan around the same time. And they had the same experience. So like he's either just getting a bit on or it is just like part of the show. Mm. So I don't know. But it was very cool. Oh, cool thing was that because we were in Osaka, for the Kotaku fans out there, we caught up with Brian Ashcroft, who writes about all the cool Japanese stuff for Kotaku US. And he lives in Osaka. So we caught up with him. He was awesome. And like weirdly, because Alex and I are super into whiskey, we're just talking about it. And it turns out he just wrote a book on Japanese whiskey. So he took us to like a bottle-o and like told us like the best stuff to buy. Because you would know, like alcohol's so cheap over there. Mm. It's so good. Like, it's amazing. Like, did you have like really good experiences with the food and alcohol when you went?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's so good. How good is 7-Eleven?
I know. It's like I was literally like having like dinner at 7-Eleven, like when I'd come home late from whatever I was doing that day.
Yeah.
Because like I was in the red light, I was staying in the red light district in
Shinjuku. Yeah.
So I had like all the convenience stores. And yeah, I was just like dropping in at 7-Eleven, like buying my couple of cans of alcohol, and then I was going back to my apartment like watching Netflix and eating my takeaway.
That's great. So good. And it's cheap, it's delicious. Like going into 7-Eleven there was like a dream. Like, and also I was into the coffee in a can. Like that was a good time. And then we flew back in on Saturday morning. I went to our 7-Eleven on the corner, like near our house, just to get milk and stuff. I'm just looking at it going, what is this trash fire? Like,
yeah, why is everything expensive and it's crap.
And like, I can't get alcohol here.
I can't get alcohol for $1.50.
Yeah, like I can't drink my whiskey highball on the very clean Shinkansen. And the trains too. Like the Shinkansen is the best thing in the world. Like it's so fast and everyone's polite and it's clean. And I just knew that when I went to work on Monday morning, I was going to see someone pissing on the platform at Rockdale Station. Like I just knew that was going to be my reality, and it made me really sad.
Oh, it's like you're going to have like people like standing in front of the doors as you're trying to get off the train.
Yes, I love it that they've got the thing like you stand here, you go this way. Yeah. Like, oh, it's so, so good. Yeah, so had an amazing, amazing time. What have you been up to since I've been gone? This podcast is over.
Not much, because I'm just recovering from having a cold, so haven't really been doing that much.
You're cooking me dinner on Saturday, I heard.
Yes, yeah. I don't know what I'm cooking yet. Because we're like, oh, it's like got training on, so we're going to like come home, and then half an hour later, you guys are going to show up, so we're like, okay, what can we cook?
We can always just order something.
Yeah, but what's the point of having a dinner party if you're freaking ordering takeaway?
I guess so. This is super, super exciting for our listeners. I'm going to make some dinner.
So I've been sick, so I haven't really been playing too many games. Like, anything I've sort of been playing at the moment is Shadow of Mordor, because, like, the Game of the Year edition was, like, $16 on PlayStation.
Oh, nice. Store. I still haven't played that.
So I've been playing that, but I haven't been playing it during the week, because it's kind of dark and gloomy. I'm just I don't really want to be playing that on that, like, during the night, so I've just been mostly catching up on TV instead.
Yeah, anything good?
Been watching season 2 of Attack on Titan.
Oh, nice.
And been watching a lot of Dragon Ball Z and getting just as frustrated as I was when I used to watch it as a teenager.
Fair enough.
The slow progression of
I actually, when we were in Japan, Alex and I started properly watching Evangelion, mostly because we went on the Evangelion
The 2.0 bullshit?
Original, but remastered. Good. So I'd only seen bits and pieces when I was in high school, so I knew the basic premise, but I hadn't watched it properly. And because we went on the EVA ride at Universal, and it was fucking amazing. I'm like, yeah, we should start watching it. I'm like getting like heavy into it. It's really cool. We're going to talk about games because, I mean, I guess we're a gaming podcast. So one of the things that I think Rick might have mentioned on the podcast, I'm sure that he did, was a tablet and like iPhone game. I don't know if it's on Android yet. Called Ticket to Earth, the first chapter of that. So on the plane over, I started playing it and got super addicted to it. So I think I was like tweeting at the devs, like just fangirling like hard when I was in Tokyo. So I think we're gonna get them on the pod. Mm. Surprisingly, I didn't tell you about that. We're really gonna get them on the pod at some point.
Well, I think we were hinted at it on the last podcast, but now you've let the cat out of the bag.
Oh, did you guys hint at it? Okay, well yeah, there you go. and now they probably won't go on. They did say they were keen. It was just really cool. Like I didn't expect something that had this sort of tile puzzler kind of element to also have this really cool in-depth story that I cared about. And so
because they were at PAX last year, but I didn't get a chance to play it.
Yeah, I completely missed it at PAX. I didn't even remember the name of it at all. Like it just didn't ring any bells. And so I'm like, oh well, like Rick and I usually have similar tastes and stuff, so like I'll try it. I need something for the plane. And it was incredible. And I was still playing it in between doing stuff in Tokyo, and I finished that part. I'm like, oh cool, like that first chapter was really sick, I'll keep going. And it's like, No, it's like first chapter means like this is done until the next chapter is out. And I just felt so empty because it was, that's how invested I got in this little game like so quickly. So I'm really excited for the next one and really pleasantly surprised. And I'm a little bit proud that something that cool and polished came out of Australia as well. So I was happy about that. I also finally started playing the Switch a little bit more after months of Alex trying to make me do stuff on the Switch. He sucked me in with a childhood favorite, which is Wonder Boy, the new one, which is actually, it's really cool. Like, do you know much about it?
No.
Yep. So essentially, like, they've done a remastered version, essentially, but you can also switch between, like, the retro version and the new one. And I'm not too far into it yet, but it's really beautiful. Like, it's absolutely stunning. So it's actually gotten me invested in a Switch. And what I really like too is you can actually just play as Wonder Girl if you want. And a nice little touch is that it remembers that when you come back into it, switches the title card to Wonder Girl as well, which, you know, I thought that was a cool little touch. So that's been great. And the other thing that I did, again, on Rick's recommendation, is I went and downloaded What Remains of Edith Finch, which only came out, I think, a couple of weeks ago.
What does remain of her? Or is that?
I'm not gonna say it. That's too much. Here's the thing: like, if you don't want to know anything about this game, I recommend you skip this bit because I really liked going into it completely blind.
Because I have no idea what this game is about.
Okay, yeah,
I've heard people talking about it, and I'm like,
yeah, it's okay. Really cool. It's only a two or three hour investment. No spoiler version is basically like a girl who seems to be writing in a diary, which, you know, you're kind of playing through as she's going through the narrative, goes back to her childhood home. There's a lot of mystery behind it. And she seems to kind of be like maybe the last one left. And as she goes through the childhood home, she's kind of exploring the backstories of like some of her family and ancestors. And that unfolds in different ways. So you might be talking about this particular relative at this point, and it'll go through some of their story, but it'll be completely different gameplay for every single one. I don't want to say what the different types of gameplay is because it's so awesome stumbling on it yourself, but it does change, and it was mind-blowing. They worked on it for something like 5 or 6 years, and it shows. Like, it blew my mind. Rick had like sort of warned me that I was going to have the feels over it, and considering that I'd gotten off a red eye flight and then went straight into it with no sleep, that definitely happened. So I know that I'm making this sound really vague and uninteresting, but I swear to God, like, if anyone loved Firewatch or Gone Home or is just interested in a really narratively driven story that does not require a lot of investment, like what I said, it's 2 to 3 hours, I cannot recommend it enough because the gameplay is incredible and constantly surprising, like constantly. And there's two characters in particular that when you play through their little mini stories, like the gameplay and what they did with it, just, it blew me away. Like it was crazy. I don't want to ruin it for anyone. Like, that's how important it is to me. It was incredible. So if you like those sort of games, please someone pick it up. Maybe in a couple of weeks, like if Lee plays it or something, we can all come on and have an absolute crazy spoiler version of it. And if our listeners want to weigh in, that would be great too.
Is it available on console?
It is. I was playing on PS4.
Oh, good.
And it's definitely available on Xbox as well, I think. And maybe I'm wrong. I'm sure that it is so. But do it. Do it, do it, do it. Other stuff that's been happening, I think it was last week when I was away, a podcast that Rick and I did for the Trailblazer podcast with Walter Isaacson came out. So I was on as a guest to talk about the history of Nintendo, and Rick was producing my segment. So basically the entire episode is about games and game history. And if anyone doesn't know who Walter Isaacson is, he was like the CEO of CNN. He's been the managing editor of Time Magazine. He wrote like that massive Steve Jobs biography that everyone knows about, and has written stuff on Einstein. And so he's really, really like massive dude in the industry. And yeah, it was really fun. So that came out. So if you just look up like Trailblazer podcast, you can check that out. Other thing was that this week I was a little bit blown away in that I was nominated for an IT Journalism Award for Best New Journalist, which was exciting. So, yay! Everyone's like, yay! So that's happening this Friday. I don't think that I will win, but I'm very, very excited. And yeah, that's been me.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
I'm just like,
You've been like, I've had a cold.
Yeah, I'm like, I've been sick. Like, I'm just hoping that, like, my drive home is going to be a bit less eventful than the last.
Oh, yeah. Did you want to talk about that? Because I heard that's something that happened after the last podcast and I wasn't here for.
Yeah. So, saw someone get hit by a car on the drive back from...
Episode 28.
From episode 28.
Jesus.
Which was, like... pretty surreal because
you were with Nate, weren't
you? Yeah, because like we don't live too far away from each other, so I was giving him a lift home, and we're just like pulled up at these lights, and we're just waiting for the lights to turn green. The lights turn green, and just as the traffic starts moving, some chick walks out on the road.
Yeah,
like middle of the road, and we're just like, whoa, this girl is really crazy, and it's like this is like six lanes of traffic, and she's just like walking along as if nothing's happening. It's like we expect her to sort of stop where the median strip is, and no, she just keeps on walking, and like by now it's like we're pulling away, and then just hear this thud, and I'm looking out my rearview mirror, and seriously, ragdoll mechanics, like this girl just goes like cartwheeling through the air and just falls on the ground. Like we're like, by now it's like we're like, I don't know, 100 meters away, and we're just like, holy shit, like it happened like on the other side of the road.
Jesus. Did you have to like do a police report or anything?
Well, we didn't because there was, like, a lot of traffic at the time.
Okay,
like,
yeah.
It wasn't, like, it was just us and the car that hit her type of thing. There was probably, like, a good, like, six or seven cars on the other side of the road where she got hit. So, like, I think Nate ended up doing, like, calling the police.
Okay.
I don't know what happened, but being, like, the morbid person I am, I was, like, sort of stalking the news reports to see if, like, the person had died because it just, like, holy shit, like...
Yeah, you saw it. No, of course, that makes sense. I would too.
And, like, didn't really... hear anything from it. And
okay, that's good.
Yeah, so in future people, don't talk on your phone while you're crossing the road, and make sure that the guy is red, and if cars are moving, maybe stop in the middle of the road, because like I actually feel really bad for the driver, because that car would not have seen her.
Yeah,
like she would have just like popped out,
because
like traffic lights were green.
Yeah, she would just say it. And so,
and she stepped out on the road like after it had gone green for cars.
Yeah.
But yeah, it took me a little longer than usual to get to sleep that night.
Yeah, I can understand. Like that's scary. Like, yeah, you don't want that.
Yeah, because it's not the first time I've seen someone get hit by a car, but like that was like really unexpected, because like 1 minute, like I'm sitting in the car with Nate going, whoa, this girl is crazy, and then bang. It's like, oh wow.
Yeah, like you'd actually like paid attention to her, and then it came to pass, as it were. Now, I know there's another milestone that you hit this week, Lee, that I saw you post about on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. I've officially been working for the same company for 10 years.
Woo! And we, like, the best bit about this is that we had a discussion about this on the podcast last year about, like, you're like, I don't know if I want to stay to make it to long service or not, and it looks like you did.
So I've made it to long service, so...
Do you have any plans there yet? Like, when you're going to take up, what you're going to do?
I have no idea, because... I don't know, I think I'm just going to keep it and hoard it and,
secrets.
And like eventually cash it in when I turn 60 years old and invariably still working for this.
Oh my God.
Retire.
Oh my God. You got it, like, so you don't want to take a holiday or anything?
Not at this point in time. I'm just like,
Fair enough.
Because I'm like, I don't think I'd want to go anywhere for 3 months. Like, 3 months of living out in the suitcase. Like, it's already hard enough when it's, like, a month or whatever.
Yeah.
To get sick of it by the end of it, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could maybe use some of it. Or do you have to take it all at once? How does that work?
I actually have no idea.
Yeah. Listeners, tell us how it works. That would be great.
No, so it's like if you hate your job and are too lazy to move and have been at your workplace for 10 years, what did you do with your long service leave?
I like how it's gotten to us asking our listeners questions like and for advice rather than the other way around. Maybe we just realised we're just well shit at it. Yeah. So, I don't know. Speaking of sort of like traveling and stuff like that, are you planning any holidays like this year at all? Because I know your last big one was like the big like Iceland, Japan one.
Yeah, that was last year. So
yeah,
might be going to Hong Kong towards the end of the year.
Oh, nice! What for?
For fencing.
Oh, what?
I think like our club manager, I think she just wants to organize a trip because I think there's like some competition going on over there. And they're like, oh, it'd be good to just like do like a club trip there and.
Yeah.
Like, get to visit Hong Kong, maybe Shanghai. And I'm like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Like, I'll come last because I'm crap, but yeah.
I will be in for the trip.
Yeah, pretty much. So, might be in November. I'm not too sure yet, though.
Yeah, fair enough. What's some of the stuff that you did in Japan when you were over there? Because we kind of skipped over the bit where we would, like, have crossovers and compare notes.
Well, last time when I went there, I kind of, like, exclusively stayed in Tokyo. So, yep. My thing was mostly just... like exploring the city and doing lots of shopping and doing lots of eating.
Yeah.
And there's like Disneyland and all that.
Yeah.
So
Did you go to Harajuku at all?
Yeah, like I went to Harajuku a few times. Like I was mostly going to Harajuku and Shibuya.
Yeah.
And like a little bit of Ginza as well. Yeah, it was kind of more like, because I had like my own apartment there.
Yeah.
Like I was kind of, it was kind of more at the end of my trip where I was like, okay, I'm sick of staying in hotels. And it was more, I'm just going to relax and, like, I'd sort of leave my place at about 10:30 or whatever.
Yeah.
And just take my time. Like, sometimes I'd go back to my apartment during the day, then head back out again.
Yeah. It's good to be able to do that. We did the same with Airbnb, and it was pretty great. We went to Harajuku a couple of times, so, like, once, like, on a Sunday, so it was, like, super busy and got to see, like, all the, like, awesome, like, Harajuku girls, like, dress up and stuff. And then we also, I don't know if you went there, we went to Kawaii Monster Cafe. Which is this, like, it's like the biggest tourist trap, but it's essentially like this insanely, I don't even know how to describe it, but basically insane decked out sort of cafe, like literally just Google it. It's just, I don't know, like ice cream and like weird, like over the top decor. But we went at nighttime where on Thursdays they do burlesque and we met a couple of mates there and it was the most insane thing because you've got this over the top cute desserty sort of aesthetic everywhere. You know, there's like giant like fake lambs with dummies in their mouths and shit like that. And then you've just got someone on a pole doing burlesque on top of like a fake cake and stuff. But meanwhile, the music was everything from like Spice Girls to like Eric Clapton. I'm like, is this in my head? Like, is this actually in, like, am I hallucinating this? Because this is everything that I want in my life right now. So that was pretty insane. Yeah, I kind of found that, like, with Tokyo, like, I've always heard from people that have gone that it's super expensive, but it really doesn't have to be at all. Like, if you're not going out to, like, the most expensive places or just looking to do brand shopping, like, we found it super, super cheap.
If you're not out there going to, like, the tourist trappy sort of restaurants and stuff, because I was eating there. It's, like, for $20, I was eating more than my fair share of food and then some, like, portion sizes were like so big and everything. I'm just like, I don't understand, like, everyone saying
it's not,
it's like super expensive and stuff. And like, I'd say like shopping fashion and stuff is probably on par with Sydney. It's like you've got your you've got your mid-range like fast fashion type brands and then you've got like obviously your more high-end.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I've got a bunch of clothes over there for probably would be like the mid-range sort of stuff, but I found it cheaper, but that was in Kyoto as well.
Yeah.
And I got some like beautiful dresses and things. I'm like, what the hell is happening? Like, this is so cheap. It was great. Yeah, it was really good. Like even places like Tokyo Skytree, which like when Alex posted that we were there, people were like, oh, it's so expensive. I mean, this just seems like a mall. Like,
I know.
It's normal. It's like Westfield.
I don't know what people are expecting. That clothes are going to be like, $2 or something.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's normal. Like, it was crazy. And we ate like super cheap. Like, there was a place in the Shinkansen station in Kyoto where I swear to God, we ate there like four or five times because it was just one of those ticket machine places that wasn't even exclusively ramen. Like, a lot of ramen places will be like ticket machines.
Yeah.
But it was just one of those ones where you just get your ticket, you walk in, you hand it to the chef, and they give it to you straight away, and you stand up and eat. But the food was so good, and it was all about equated to about 480-500 yen, and it was like beautiful food. So we just, every time we're gonna go like go take a trip somewhere during the day, we'll just go eat there first, and it'll fill you up for ages.
Yeah, but that's like when I was leaving Japan, and I had lunch at Narita Airport. And
yeah,
like airport food is really shit and expensive.
Yeah,
it's like I had like a full on meal with like a plum wine highball
yeah.
for like $20, and like my meal was like scallop and shrimp on rice. Type
yeah.
of thing.
Yeah, and that would be like the expensive end
yeah.
of their stuff too. Like, and look how amazing that is. And we ate so cheap, and oh, it was just, I want to go back now. Like, it was so good. So, so good. And everyone's just friendly. And yeah, like everyone's respectful. Like, you don't see people just getting shit faced in the street. Like, you see the salarymen at, like out drunk
yeah,
at like 1 a.m. on a Tuesday, like, but, and like, they're slumped over. but it's, no one is a problem. We didn't get hassled. I never felt unsafe. Even did you go and check out?
Yeah, I went by myself.
Yeah, you did. That's right. And you didn't feel unsafe at all.
No.
Did you go to Golden Gate in Shinjuku at all?
Don't think so.
So that's like this little section, like down near the red light district, where it's basically like the really old section of town, where it's these tiny, tiny little alleyways that all interconnect, where they're all like little bars, bars.
Like I would walk through them.
Yeah, like, so it's
usually
like
usually on my way back to my Airbnb.
Yeah, and it was amazing because you could only fit like 5 or 10 people in each one, and it was just, it was mind blowing. It was really cool, and we ended up going into a few of those, just meeting random people. It was cool, like everyone's just friendly and I was actually really lucky
when I went because when I went it was the end of November and they have a festival every year on at that time, so down the main strip of Shinjuku, like the main street,
yeah,
like the sidewalk walks every night for like about like a few days,
yeah,
almost a week I think. They're all like street food stalls.
Oh, amazing.
So you've got
yeah.
the people like grilling like the fish and like chocolate coated bananas and the like the pancakes and all
yes
certainly. Like the takoyaki and everything. It's like was really good. So like I was just going there instead of 7-Eleven. I'm just like, yeah, I'm buying like all this random food. Just taking it back with me.
And,
like,
amazing. I don't know if there's anything much. I think this has been more of a catching up episode. More than like this is more just us having a chat at this point.
Well, like, there hasn't been really much going on in game with me. Like the latest major release has been Prey.
Yeah, which I haven't played yet.
Which I won't play because it looks too scary.
I will play because I'm very. We've got Rick shaking his head in the corner as well. I'm keen.
Yeah.
I'm insanely keen for Prey. But yeah, I've got other things to get. I've got more Overwatch. I've nearly hit level 100. I'm like maybe 3 games off level 100 in Overwatch. So that's going to be my task tonight. Yeah, like that's pretty much it really. I think we're getting close to E3 now, so we'll probably start talking a little bit about predictions and stuff that we're excited for in the coming weeks.
Destiny 2.
the only things we talk about, Andromeda, which I swore I wouldn't say the word, but
no,
Andromeda.
No, I don't want to talk about that anymore.
I think you do. That's why you're angry.
5 listeners have had enough of me like ragging on that.
So the 2 things we talk about is like
AAA titles.
Yeah. just Andromeda, like Overwatch, and Destiny. 3 years on, still more Destiny. So I think that's pretty much all I've got this week. I'm kind of been thinking about maybe we should do some streaming as well. Like originally we said we're going to, and I'd rather like
I
to
feel
do some.
I feel like that Twitch is handing out affiliate things like candy at the moment.
Yes, they are.
Every second person on my Twitter feed that maybe have done like 1 or 2 streams have
been
become an affiliate.
I know, right?
Maybe we can be that.
Maybe let us be
what
that.
What does it mean?
Yeah. I would like a purple hoodie, please.
Yeah.
we always said that we're going to do it. So, 2 listeners who actually listen to this show, let us know if that's something that you'd be interested in. I'd be keen to do it. We've always talked about it. This was born out of doing Twitch streaming originally. 12 hours of us and people asking advice and to see our feet. So, look, good times. Forged in the bowels of the internet. So if that's something you'd like us to do, we'd be keen. And if there's any games in particular that you want us to play, like, oh, I don't know, like Prey or whatever, we can certainly do that.
Would that mean that we'd have to buy that, or would you have like a copy of that?
I can probably get a code. We might have one at work or something. I'll have a look. Yeah, but that sounds like you're showing interest, Lee, so...
No!
No.
So I'm going to have to play Outlast then.
Oh, like, no. You said it, not me. No. That's on you. So anything else to add today, Lee?
No.
All right. Well, thank you for everyone for basically listening to me just talk about my holiday. It probably wasn't particularly interesting. But anyway, until next time when we have some actual gaming news and stuff to talk about. So yes.
Oh, wait, don't we have to like thank our people first?
We Jeez. Do. I didn't acknowledge. See, like I've been gone for
it's
a week.
It's like we've acknowledged Dave at the start, but we forgot everybody else.
All right. Would you like to acknowledge some people, Lee?
Okay. So I'd like to acknowledge Plantronics who have sponsored us. Since before we even started.
I know, which was pretty awesome. So, yeah, I think we need to get back into actually asking people some questions again. So if anyone wants to actually write in.
Although I do feel like that every single one of our listeners has a pair of headphones.
Look, we don't know that. We're getting mad downloads. There's people out there we don't know who listen. We just don't know who they are hiding on the internet. So hello, people who have not revealed yourselves yet. If you would like a chance to win a sweet pair of Plantronics 500s, write in, ask us some questions, and our favorite one each month, once we start doing it again, we'll actually win a pair. If no one else bothers, that could just be you. So, yeah, thank you to Plantronics. Who else we got, Lee?
We have Rick, who has been quietly sitting in the armchair across from us.
Yeah, I tell you what would have been funny is because two of the games that I talked about are like close to his heart, I should have just made blatantly incorrect statements about them where he had to stay quiet. That would have been pretty good. Yeah, he's just taking a drink now, so he wants to say something. And he's just, yeah, he's doing nothing. He's quivering there like a broken man, just like can't even bring himself to flip his
lips.
Yeah, can't even bring himself to flip us off. Like, he's just, yeah, not doing anything. He'll probably, like, edit something in. That's messed up, yeah. Whispering but no voice. yeah, so to thank you to mostly, I mean, let's be fair, it's mostly Yola, right? At this point, like, Rick doesn't do a whole lot of anything. yeah, so thank you to Rick and Yola at Hojo Studios. Is there anyone else we need to acknowledge or thank, Lee?
Let's acknowledge ourselves.
Okay, I'm sure we're forgetting someone. I feel like there's someone from a while back we're supposed to acknowledge that we've forgotten, so I apologize.
Well, no, because it's like it's one person per episode and whoever bests the last person gets acknowledged.
That's actually very true. Yeah, so in which case we already did acknowledge Dave, but yeah, let's acknowledge ourselves. Lee, I acknowledge you.
I acknowledge you, Tegan.
That's beautiful. I love it. Until next time, say yes to the sass.
Stay sassy.
Boy.
Bye.